It's time for the Access of Easy podcast, the weekly technology digest that keeps you ahead of the curve. Brought to you by EasyDNS.com.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Access of Easy podcast. This is number 382. Happy New Year. My name is Joey, here with Benjamin Franklin and the other panel. What's going on, buddy? How the heck are you?
My face will be on the $100 bill soon, it looks like. So yeah, I'm wonderful. And given all this talk about what's going on with Canada and the United States, who knows? Maybe my face will be on the $100
bill. You're a candidate now. Yeah, you're a candidate
Absolutely,
now.
Right? Like, have you talked to anybody about that? The whole
My in-laws are pretty sensitive about it. I personally think it's a good idea, and I don't think it would take much for it to work. But, you know, it's not as much a product of America being at its strongest point and being able to export soft power to the point that Canadians would be thrilled to join up with such a great nation. It's that we are really at the bottom of our recent history in terms of cultural identity, cultural enthusiasm, let's say. There's probably a better word for that. But I think a lot of people are not willing to do much for Canada at this point, whether it's vote or fight in a war or remain in the face of a better deal abroad. So I think it's, it's possible that it happens, or at least there's an attempt, soft or hard. Well,
Greenland looks like it's going to
shift over.
And if they do that, then you have Canada kind of surrounded, so to speak.
Yeah.
Right. And it's just inevitable if Greenland goes.
Civilization rules. If you have a town that's surrounded by enemy hexagons for more than 10 turns, you need to,
It flips.
You start getting unrest. Did you see Trudeau on CNN today? Closed.
What's that?
Trudeau on CNN today? He made a CNN appearance.
I saw there was a 2-minute clip. I didn't watch it. But good thing that the Canadian economy is doing better than the United States, according to him. And why is he leaving?
G7? Is that still the party line? Is anything he says the party line now? He's not really leading the party. What are the rules there?
No, he's still leading it until they have right now we only have one person declared.
Right.
And yeah.
Not a great candidate, that fella.
Well, depends who you talk to. I'm a big fan. I'm voting for him if I have an opportunity.
I got to register. I have to register a few accounts, actually. Okay, let's get into the show. This is last week's quote. I guess this is actually from 2 weeks ago, right?
Since this is the more than that. Yeah. That was like 4 weeks ago almost.
So last week's quote, "Christmas waves a magic wand over this world, and behold, everything is softer and more beautiful." That was by Norman Vincent Peale, and our winner is Ranjit. Congrats, Ranjit. This week's quote, "Activism is a way for useless people to feel important, even if the consequences of their activism are counterproductive for those they claim to be helping and damaging the fabric of society as a whole." God, doesn't that sound appropriate? If you know who that was from, no Googling, as you know, the rules are plain for everyone. Don't pervert the process. Put the answer in the comments and you get your next round of renewals on EasyDNS. Buddy, where do you want to start?
Good stories of Telegram.
Couple bangers today. Telegram, Meta, all the frequent flyers. This is like the Hall of Fame game.
Well, we have Telegram. And remember that Pavel Durov was arrested and he was apprehended by authorities in France not too long ago. And well, since then, Telegram has been more cooperative with dealing with law enforcement. And it seems to be, well, if you're a Telegram user, you should not be moving forward. You should look for something else, because there's a surge in data that's being shared with them. And this has been like Telegram has claimed to be privacy focused. And well, with this shift in the way things are done, sharing all this information with these law enforcement agencies, I wouldn't want to use Telegram if I were you, if I was sharing any personal information. Mm-hmm. It doesn't make any sense. There's lots of options out there. And it's not like this information is sideswiping us. It made national news when Durov was arrested. And unless had your head buried up somewhere or you're living under a rock and totally missed it. Come on. Like, so anybody using Telegram should look for alternatives. Number one, when you sign up, you're linking it to a telephone number. Unless you have paying for an SMS service and you're able to get around not having a phone, that may be one way, but still with IP tracking, unless you're using a VPN, still anything you put on Telegram, you could expect that to potentially be shared with authorities. It makes no sense to use it at all moving forward. There's lots of different options. Sure, it may be encrypted, but encryption is great as long as it's not stored somewhere, the information. And in Telegram's case, all the information is stored on a central server. Every time you boot up a new, or sorry, you spin up an old account with Telegram, it pulls up all the information from your old account, and it's all there. Your devices, where did it come from?
Every device is right there for you suddenly when you scan the QR code. Yeah.
Where did it come from, that information? Well, cloud, there's a central server or central cloud. Servers. Yeah. Right. So, like, do yourself a favor, get off Telegram. There's, like I mentioned, tons of different options that are much better than that. They're doing themselves no service here by teaming up with authorities. I guess they have to, but in the end, well, as incredibly, it's still being used a ton by a crapload of people, especially in the altcoin community, from what I gather. There's a lot of airdrops and stuff like that. It's the place for scams, right? It's the place for scams, and don't be a scammer.
It is. And I don't know about you, but I get the most spam messages on Telegram.
Really?
Yeah, I get tons of them. Lots of, semi-attractive Asian females, unless you're into, unless that's your persuasion, right? But I think for the most part, it's like just scam text. Hey, are you working today? Hey, how are you? Hey, I saw you in this group. Just have a couple of questions. Maybe you can help. Hey.
Are you in different chats?
I'm in tons of Telegram chats. Yeah, tons.
You know, the last message I got was... it's actually from you. You sent me a note on Telegram.
Yeah.
But the last one before that, I don't think it was in like middle of last year was the last time I got...
Well, we're in a few Telegram chats together, right?
But I'm talking more like a DM.
Oh, yeah. Lucky. Like you're lucky.
Nothing. Yeah. I never use it. It's just there. Just always on for what I like.
Yeah, I use it for a lot of stuff. I use it. I'm in like some channels for podcasts I like. I'm in some phone wallpaper ones. People share like pretty cool phone wallpapers that are hard to find. I'm a big wallpaper guy. I'm in Ontario Bitcoiners, a handful of other chats for just like relevant stuff to me. It's good to keep a pulse on things sometimes. Or, when we do the other show, so if there's a story, I kind of like to just go to those chats and see if there's any commentary on it and see, what people are feeling, if there's any recommended reading. But broadly, you're right. It's just kind of sitting there. We use it for group chats, but that's about it. You and I use Signal to text back and forth or just talk to each other, old school. And I think a lot of people are going to start to go that way. The big concern for me is, we're pretty plugged in because Telegram is big in Bitcoin Twitter, big in the Bitcoin, realm broadly. I haven't heard anyone talk about this significant increase in data sharing from Telegram since the arrest.
I think a lot of people shift away from Telegram.
I'm not 100% sure, Len. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know that I agree with that. It's easier to set up a group chat on Telegram. It's like an easier thing to use. You mentioned there's a trade-off there, obviously, but I'm surprised that more people are not talking about this on Bitcoin Twitter. Maybe it'll become a story over the next week or so. But reading for today was the first I'd heard of it. And I'm not surprised. We talked about this when Durov was arrested, that you made a deal with the devil to walk out of that room. And this is the deal. That's the other side of it.
Stay away from it. Stay away from another platform like stuff from Meta. But Meta, they're the parent company of Facebook and Instagram. They said they're going to be ending their 8-year partnership with independent American journalists like PolitiFact. So like that's gone. PolitiFact, sorry.
PolitiFact, by the way, not independent. Only in their own claims. Yeah.
You know what was funny when this was announced and it made the rounds everywhere, including Twitter. It was interesting that Zuck was wearing a watch.
900K. Yeah.
900K.
What a flex.
It is quite a flex, but really? Anyways, he's saying that the political climate has changed, especially after the 2020 election. And this is part of the decision-making for getting off this old partnership that they had. So they're going to go the way the community note style, that the way X has, something resembling that. So people are going to play a larger role in figuring out if information is indeed real or not. I'm not sure how well it's working on X. It's getting a lot of press, but some things have come up as community notes, but then shortly thereafter were taken down. And I'm not sure if it was because of pressure,
yeah,
or it was just found out that the community note was indeed wrong. But either way, it's kind of a grassroots, almost a collective style. It works good until it doesn't. I'm not trying to say that that's the best method. It's a different method. The way Meta was doing it in the past, let's be perfectly honest, that was horrendous. Mm-hmm. If you had an opposing point of view, good luck having that not fact-checked. It would be fact-checked to oblivion. And then anytime you try to talk about it to a normie, they'll refer back to the fact-check that was done on Meta or Facebook or whatever, and it's like, oh, this is, you know, what was posted by Trump, for instance, or one of Trump followers is wrong. Like, come on, you know, like, it's too bad. The reality is they were slanted. And going forward with this new community-driven type narrative, it could maybe be slanted as well, but yeah, it's probably a step in the right direction. Perfect? No. But I don't know. Given their track record, I'm not hopeful.
Depends how they implement it. On Twitter, and there's no guarantee that this is completely transparent either, but on Twitter, you can see the iterations of a community note from before it becomes public. This is for people who can write notes. I can write notes on Twitter.
So I
can see the notes before they go live, right? Like, pick a note that's helpful or write your own note, whatever. This is something that we want to put a community note on, blah, blah, blah. So I can see the iterations and I can see the different, you know, opinions people have of them. And there's like the triple N sometimes, like, no note needed. Here's why. I like that setup. There's no guarantee that that's not being astroturfed by Twitter, right? That there's some invisible hand that's actually writing those notes and making you think it's a popular opinion, but maybe it's, you know, not, and you're not busy now, or you're not, you don't have free time to do the research for yourself or whatever. And so you just like the note based on the account, or you like the note because you agree with it politically, or it's, you know, confirms your bias, you know, all the usual dangers there. That's a pretty good system if it's not being astroturfed, but we don't know. So that aside, let's go to Facebook. Facebook could do a similar implementation. I think my big problem is that Facebook has, there's just no political equality on Facebook in terms of the user base. That was the problem for a long time there. People flocked to stuff like Threads, for example, because it's not Twitter. It's the place where you can go and cry about, you know, climate change causing these forest fires in California, as opposed to just complete incompetence and DEI hires in every major position, including the fire chief and fire commander and mayor. Story for another time. But you need both sides to be involved in that community note process for it to be something that makes sense, something that adds value, and something that in a lot of cases tells you whether a story or a tweet or a status update, whatever Facebook uses now, is true or not true. So if they don't implement it like that, that's a different story. We're going to see how this turns out. I'm hopeful. I will add, how many times have I said on this show, on CBP, and in private and in public, that the answer to all our problems is making sure all men can squat 225 pounds. You can say whatever you want. All these people online, these blue-haired losers crying about, oh, he's cuddling up to Papa Elon. Oh, he's working with the government now and the government's changed. Oh, he's changed his opinion because it's inconvenient for his business. He's changed his opinion because he can squat 225 and he does a combat sport now. That is the only reason. If we look across the spectrum, there is no, you know, I have become somewhat notable for saying post physique on tweets where people are complaining about about conservative politics, conservative policies, and conservative personalities. And none of these people look like they've been in a gym in the last 20 years. They look like they've been eating Beyond Meat burgers and crushing Diet Cokes. And you know, look at Zuckerberg.
It has anything to do with the climate and the way we now, the Elon Musk purchasing X and taking it a certain direction.
I think that could be part of it. But honestly, Len, he doesn't need that user base. He doesn't gain anything from this. Like I said, that user base is not his. It's not his. That user base on Threads is not his. The user base on Instagram is not, like, people on Instagram and Twitter are looking for different things. People on Facebook and Twitter are looking for different things. Threads and Twitter are looking for different things. Not just looking as in the search bar. No, it's the libs. The libs. Threads was the original Blue Sky, right? He basically ripped the Twitter idea right out of the code, more or less. And they have, it's all algorithmic feed. Like, people who use Twitter don't use Threads and vice versa. But people on Threads need to be spoon-fed what they want to see, right? Oh, this is going to make me happy. These people are idiots.
That's
dumb.
That's going to be mothballed. He's changing his tune because he doesn't want to be in the wrong side.
He's changing his tune because his squat's going up. That is the reason.
More so, he's looking at what's going on, especially with, you know, Donald Trump being elected.
This is all a result of the squat. Everything is a result of the squat.
Fair enough. So people who aren't squatting 225 are protecting the U.S. Department of the Treasury because they were cyber attacked by the Chinese.
Hall of Fame transition there.
Let's be honest. They probably don't have the best and the brightest in terms of IT security over there, because
probably not.
The United States is the most powerful nation on Earth. The Treasury Department is one of the most prominent departments within the United States. And if they're not able to withstand a cyber attack from the Chinese government, people like you and I probably are going to be subjected to it as well. But like I was suggesting before, they probably don't have the best and the brightest working over there. They probably are working in somewhere in Silicon Valley, or it's maybe for the Chinese government, and try to do these attacks, right? But it just goes to show you there's a treasure trove of information. The timing of this, I don't think there's any coincidence. I think this is timed perfectly. You know, Donald Trump coming in, Biden on his way out. There's got to be some information they're trying to extract and figure out what's going on, what sort of capacity they have in terms of financial capacity to withstand any sort of war.
Totally agree.
I'm looking at Taiwan, for instance, and the United States, they've been rattling the sabers for a long time with respect to Taiwan. And the United States have been talking for a long time. Sorry, Donald Trump has been talking a long time. Look, these countries that are getting our protection for free should pony up something. So if something were to happen with Taiwan, the United States, would they step up their game and provide assistance? They have boots in the ground right there as it is, but would they ship more boots in the ground, more ships over there, more planes, more whatever? Looking at what's going on with the Treasury Department, it could probably give an idea to see what sort of dry powder they have sitting on the side. But with all that being said, they can make money out of thin air. And they could do this at a whim. We saw this in 2020. They could do the exact same thing. Sure, in the end, it hurts your savings moving forward, your income moving forward. But they have the ability. If they want to, poof, there's a whole bunch of new money in circulation, and they could use that however they want. QE is a very powerful tool, but it hurts in the end.
So I'll take the other angle here. You're right about the QE thing. You're right about the monetary readiness thing. But I think there's a surveillance angle here too. I just want to read the end of the article. The notification from Treasury about this attack, those are my words, comes as Washington remains on edge over the recent disclosures that Chinese-linked hackers known as Volt Typhoon and Salt Typhoon have burrowed into U.S. critical infrastructure and penetrated the networks of at least 9 telecommunication companies, respectively. In response, the Biden administration and Capitol Hill lawmakers are readying a series of policy moves, including a vote next month by the Federal Communications Commission that may set minimum cybersecurity standards for telecom firms. Treasury said it is working with the FBI and Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency, CISA, to resolve the intrusion. What are the odds that included with this will be something that allows the administration, vis-a-vis a 3-letter agency, to monitor more closely with more distinguishing data the traffic that comes through the telecom companies under the guise of national security? As if they need me more, but I think they want more, or at least want more. What's the word I'm looking for here? Legitimacy in the operation. And so they're going to get it through this, which begs the question, as always, Len, was this a legit attack, or are we being psyoped? Dun, 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 dun. Hard to say.
We'll never know, because we're not on the inside, and we're just, you know, trying to,
it's a big club and we ain't in it, even though you are a candidate to be on the bill.
But I'm just a face of this whole thing. I have no, you know, aside from that, what power do I have? Right. Well, you know, let's talk about Meta again, because, well,
the rare twofer in one episode.
These AI generated accounts, they're going to be exploring the use of that on their platforms, and trying to interact with human users in a more engaging and personalized way. I've tried to get information, communicate with them, try to just, you know, increase engagement for the most part. And what they could do are a few things, like share posts. They could reply to comments.
Not weird at all.
Or participate in video calls. That's the interesting one, because how could an AI do a video call and mimic human behavior and figure out, and the recipient doesn't think that it's AI? Like, it's got to be well done if somebody isn't able to pick up on it. So it's something called AI Studio. That's what Meta's launched. But, you know, there's also fear out there. What could they use with this? Could it be spread of misinformation? they could potentially manipulate public opinion if you have a bunch of these bots out there just sending out information.
I love, can we just note here that they say they're going to introduce these bots? Like, Len, this is clearly already going on, right? I'm not dreaming this.
With respect to with them running it,
yeah,
it's hard for me to say,
yes,
because I'm not on their platforms.
I think they are.
So it may very well be the case. If I could talk about like X, for instance, which I am on, does X have their own AI bots?
Good question, right?
There are bots.
You're right. Elon wanted to root out those bots, but do they run their own? That's a good question. I don't know.
Maybe. I don't think so. It's generating a lot of activity without any artificial influence, right? So like, and it's not like Elon wants to change a narrative. It seems like he likes having some sort of opposing narrative. Then he can impose his will or try to crush them and digitally crush them, right? So taking blue check marks away and stuff like he's actually, you know. But anyways, with this Meta stuff, I don't know if it's being used because I'm not on their platforms. But really, in the end, is this something that's going to be good for them? No, this is all fake, right? Like if you're using computers, AI to communicate with people, the platform's dead, or it's on its way to be dead. Like to try to generate interest, try to generate some sort of you know, just communication. Like it's absolute crap.
What about dead internet theory? Do you subscribe to this?
I don't know what the dead internet theory is.
Dead internet theory is basically that like all opinion is controlled and beige on the internet now. It's been this way for a long time, and the people you're arguing with, like, there's some high percentage chance it's just a bot. It's like an AI chat bot that's just trying to rally you up and keep you on the platform. And that was like really controversial a few years back. Now I see stories like this and I think, you know what? Dead internet theory is alive and well. Nope, I guess that's kind of ironic. But, you know, the idea that this is my favorite part of the article. While it may bring a certain freshness in user interaction and entertainment, what kind of freshness is that? The move has raised alarm bells with experts. One of these is the worry that AI-generated accounts could become a source of misinformation. Like, how many buzz terms can we slam into this story? I am just like, AI models are
picking a narrative push.
It's crazy. AI models are greatly predisposed to generating wrong or downright fictional accounts, which means the sheer number of AI accounts could enhance the spread of false information. Like, man, I don't even know what to say. I just, the more I see stuff like this, the more I think I'm actually going to be better off for asking if you caught the game last night, you know, that meme, as opposed to reading what's going on the internet.
Back to the 225 squat thing. Is it like, right? Like, is this
Zuck, a bad thing? I don't know.
That's not the measuring stick. There's something else we have to use that's figuring out if indeed.
No, it all goes back to the squat. Maybe he's not squatting 225 yet. Maybe he's only at like 205 or something. He's like on the continuum. He's got to get there still.
So yeah, let's move on to this Mask APT stuff. This is a notorious hacker group, and they've been around for some time since 2007, and they've been doing a lot of complex attacks and targeting various platforms like Windows, macOS, Android, and iOS. And there's been some recent attacks that were going on, and it looks like they're using something called Corato 2 and Goreto. And this is targeting, hopefully I pronounce those things right.
Those are my neighbors.
So cloud service like OneDrive and Google Drive. And this is pretty nasty because there's considering how much people are relying on this, not just people, but businesses, governments too, I would imagine are relying on some sort of things like this. It just makes me wonder what information could they extract from this? And it's a very, the way they're doing it, they exploit vulnerabilities in webmail components. And so once they get into it, they deploy malware and allows them to steal files, records keystrokes and spread information and infect other computers at the same time. So really, what can you do with all this? You got to be careful. Phishing attempts is one of the things that help them gain access. Crappy passwords is another thing. So use good passwords, keeping software up to date. It's really just the same old in terms of protecting yourself. But in the end, it's the people that are administering these cloud services. Yeah. They're the ones that have to really manage stuff. And if you can, don't use it. Self-host, right? If you could self-host, you could eliminate a lot of attack vectors and you could prevent anything from being extracted is you don't have to keep your self-hosted information online. You keep it offline. And how can that information then can be stolen? It can't. But you somehow have to keep a backup. So it's a tricky situation, and it's a conundrum to be in. Where do you keep this information? So figure it out.
I think we talked. Yeah, we spoke about this maybe in December. No, it couldn't have been December. It's probably before I had my daughter, about how the next we were like experiencing this kind of shift in the stories we were doing for Access of Easy and sort of more broadly in the cybersecurity world. Things were shifting away from attacking someone's PC for data and moving toward attacking cloud services. Now, the thing I would note here, you know, and you brought this up too, you guys try and store stuff yourself or do your own server at home, whatever. Man, a lot of people just have no choice, because at this point, you know, how big is your Gmail inbox? Like, my Gmail inbox is always 99% full. And, you know, how big is your phone, your photo storage? Like, my photo storage is expanding by the day. Like, it's like, I thought it was bad having a dog. Now I got a kid, you know, there's videos and pictures going up every day to the cloud. It's hard to bring that stuff down, but you're really exposing data and exposing yourself to these attacks by using these services, because not only do you not control the security profile of your information and your data, but also, Len, how many times have we discussed on this show that the likelihood of you finding out something happened in time to do anything about it is basically zero, right?
Yeah, it's after the fact.
Yeah, and so while it is true that Google, if you have an unauthorized sign-in to your email account, will send you something, or if you have an unauthorized, you know, like, it doesn't work if they're getting it at the cloud level. You know, what are they going to do? They're not going to send you anything.
But even if you get that email, by then it's too late, right? Like,
yeah. Hey, was this you? I love that. Was this you? What if it wasn't?
No, it ain't me. Thank you for letting me know that robbers have entered my house.
Whatever. Who you got
that's
tonight?
It, Joey.
Notre Dame or Penn State? That's what I'm going to do after this. Go watch the game.
Oh, what's your prediction?
I'll take Notre Dame. I understand the Penn State quarterback was on a yacht with a couple of co-eds today up until 3 o'clock in the afternoon in Miami. So... not great. If you got a bowl game that night, you probably don't want to be on a yacht. Notre Dame by a million. Plus, you know, Jesus and go with God and all that. You know, it's a team of destiny.
I can't say. I have no idea, because I don't know anything about the teams and I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah. That's
go it. Fighting Irish.
Yeah, absolutely. 382 in the books. See you next week. Till then, take care of yourselves.